give him thanks. God is mighty. God is good. God is good. God is good. Father, we say thank you. As Pastor Banky comes, ask the Lord in just a minute, let him send you his word. Say, Lord, send me my own word. My ears are open. My heart is ready. Send me my own word. He said, the Bible says, he sent his word and he healed them and delivered them from their destruction. You are blessed in every way. As the word of God comes, Father, put your word in the mouth of your servant, Lord, and let your good hand rest upon him. Thank you as you give him all utterance to speak in accuracy and in truth. This is our prayer. For in Jesus' powerful name we have prayed. Amen.
The Lord is good.
That the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. Word is entering my heart. He's giving me light and direction. He's healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ.
All right, the Lord is good. Please take your seats. All right. Let's quickly get into the teaching for today. Where do we start from? I know I want to talk about, I'm just thinking, how do we kick it off? Okay, let's just read one of the blessings from the Holy Scriptures that a man blessed his son with. Let's open to the book of Genesis chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49. We're going to read around verse 25, but let's see whether we'll take it in context. Okay, now I will just read, let's start from verse 1. Then Jacob summoned his sons and said, assemble yourselves, that I may tell you what will befall you in the days to come. He said, gather together and hear, O sons of Jacob, and listen to Israel, your father. He talked about Reuben, but we won't read that. I just want to get those two verses into the context of reading. And just jump quickly to verse 22, where he began to bless Joseph. I love the blessing on Joseph. Joseph is a fowl of a wild donkey. The fowl of a wild donkey at the spring, one of the wild donkeys on the ridge. He now said, let me go back to New American Standard. He said, the archers bitterly attacked him and shot at him and harassed him. But his bow remained firm and his arms were agile from the hands of the mighty one of Jacob. From there, he is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. From the God of your father who helps you, and by the Almighty who blesses you, with the blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies beneath, blessings of the breast and of the womb, the blessings of your father have surpassed the blessings of my ancestors up to the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. May they be on the head of Joseph, and on the crown of the head of the one distinguished among his brothers. I'm going to stop reading here. Just look at the blessing he gave him. He said, may the God of your father help you. New Living Translation, verse 25. May the Almighty bless you with the blessings of the heavens above and the blessings of the watery depths below and the blessings of the breast and womb. May my fatherly blessings on you surpass the blessings of my ancestors, reaching to the heights of the eternal hills. May these blessings rest on the head of Joseph, who is a prince among his brothers. All we've been talking about is taking hold of that which God has given you. All right? Please let me just recapitulate a bit before I focus on the one we are doing today. Anything God has given, you still have to take. Did you hear what I said? When God gives, he writes it down. Then you use the template of what he has written to take that which he says to you he has given. So he'll give Israel the boundaries of the promised land. From the wilderness on this side to this end, from this Euphrates River to this particular river, he will tell you the four boundaries. And he'll say to you, everything within that is yours. Then you have to go out and contend in battle for every inch of it. The fact that something is difficult does not mean God has not given it. I've seen people write doctrines and teach doctrines that God does not heal. Why? Because they've been sick for a while, they prayed for healing, and they didn't get well. People have written doctrines on the fact that God does not, maybe, that healing thing, that God wants to leave sickness in somebody's life. Why? They prayed for somebody, and they watched the person die. Now, please, your experience does not describe the will of God. Again, let's say it, the will of God has to be prayed into existence. That's why the Lord Jesus told us, this is how we pray. One of the lines in how to pray, he said, pray like this, thy will be done on earth as it is written in heaven. How it is written is more important than what you have experienced. Your experience is supposed to align with that which is written. And the responsibility, one of the responsibilities you have is to align yourself, your life, with that which is written. Do you understand that? And one of the ways you do that is through praying. Now, we've been looking at that. Just wanted to summarize the whole thing around this thing that we have been talking about, how to lay hold of that which God has given. And we began to look at writing the script of your life, because God, now, this is one of the jobs of prophets. And listen to this, you are the most important prophet in your life. What did I say? You are the most important prophet in your own life. Don't forget it. You are the most important prophet in your life. No matter what somebody prophesies to you, if you don't prophesy the same thing about yourself, that prophecy becomes zero. God spoke a word about Israel. It was not effective when they said something different. He said, you can take the land. They said, we can't. And they died in the wilderness for it. And that point that you make, if you're a man and you're a woman too, you're a husband, you're a wife. First, let's start with a man. You are the number one prophet in your household, not your pastor. Did you hear what I said? Not one prophet you have adopted for yourself. People like to adopt prophets. The prophet is not Nechao, but you are Nenugu, but it's your personal prophet. I'm not saying he's a bad person. I don't know how many of you have been following the era of the prophets on our this thing podcast. Okay? Yes, I explained there that prophets are important. God sends prophets. But the most important prophet in your household is you, the Christian man. Wife, that is the wife in the house, you are here. Should I use the word co-prophet or assistant or deputy prophet? Both of you are prophesying. In fact, if the man does not know how to prophesy, you just take over the role. It's in scripture like that. Do you understand? But between husband and wife, they are the most important prophets in the household. Not your pastor, please. Let's get it clear. Not the prophet you adopted. No, that's a small aside. Now, the job of a prophet is to look at that which is written in heaven and prophesy it on the earth. Are you getting my point? Your job as a prophet is to look at that which God has written in heaven. Then you get up and do what? Prophesy it on the earth. We've been focusing on your personal space since we began this short teaching. All right? Concerning your health, you must prophesy. See, you know things don't spontaneously go well. I hope you know that. If anybody believes, tells you, life came out of nothing. Now, you know what? The only reason why I have those discussions, you hear from my mouth, is because I'm a preacher. So I have to answer people. Otherwise, I think it's such a stupid idea. It's not worth my time. I will never agree to debate an atheist. Do you know why? It's like, assuming I have a bachelor's degree in mathematics, you now want me to sit down and debate with somebody who didn't go to school at all on why whether the quadratic equation is correct or it's not. Why Pythagoras should tell us that the square of the, what's the name of that long one? Hypotenuse is equal to the sum of the square of the other two sides. And I should sit down and debate that with somebody who cannot measure the length of the tree in front of his house accurately. You know that kind of thing. So if you called me I see good men. I'm not saying anything bad about them. They sit down and debate atheists. I think they have their audience they are trying to appeal to. I'm like trying to help. Well, personally, you won't find me do that. I'm a teacher of Christians. What I'm saying so is that it's such, if you know a little bit, you know the concept that complex life can come out of nothing, that somebody, life just come out of nothing. It's so ridiculous, it's not worth debating. It's easier for me to get home. My house is locked, there's nobody there. I get home, I open the door, and I find a pot of freshly made jollof rice with a well-fried plantain and chicken, you know, peppered chicken on the dining table, and I say nobody cooked it. Just because I made the house locked. And I think it's easy to assume and be debating how the rice got to my dining table. See, no matter how much you lock the house, no matter how much the CCTV didn't see anybody, somebody entered that place, cooked that thing, and put it on the table. Even if all the footage, you know, CCTV has been on for the last 24 hours, showing me everything, and I, we check, we didn't see anybody. I will know that somebody doctored something. Jollof rice can never cook itself. It's not possible. In the same manner, life could not have made itself. Stephen Hawking said, because of the existence of gravity, the universe will have created itself. Of course, which left something? How did gravity get there? If you know who's Stephen Hawking, you need to go and check. He actually made a statement that nobody needs to look for the origin of things. That once gravity exists, the universe will have come out of, bam, nothing. I don't have such debates. Now, that's a small aside. Where I'm going is that your life will not spontaneously turn out right. God has given you a responsibility. That's what I'm saying. It will not spontaneously turn out right. Brethren, you're a Christian. If you're healthy today and you want to remain healthy, tell your body it will remain healthy. God expects you to do that. Read the will of God to your body. One of the reasons why God gave us mirrors is not just that women can put pancake on their face. That's not the only reason. There are many reasons why you need mirrors. I mean, men who use mirrors. I'm not saying only women, all right? But women use it more than men do, all right? But that's not the only reason why God gave us mirrors. One of the reasons they can talk to yourself. And that's what I think. Get a good-sized mirror. Not those pocket mirrors that women use to adjust their lipstick. That's not what I mean. A mirror that can show you your whole head and at least half of your body. Stand in front of it and talk to you. Do you get my point? Look at those eyes. See these eyes. You will walk. You won't go blind on me. Because it is written. Give it a number of quotes. Talk to it. I still got somebody in my neighborhood. I'm part of the neighborhood notification chat group. You know what I say? They have chat room. The whole neighborhood. Hundreds of people in there. Somebody still sent something today. Early hours this morning, I saw it and I said, why would people stop? When would they stop forwarding things written by ignoramuses about their health? Please don't ever forward something about health that you don't know who wrote it. Person said that most people have stroke between 6 and 8 in the morning because they didn't drink water last night. You know, you see? and then you're forwarding it. You know, do you know what is that? You know, because in that place, I just said not to talk, I just ignored them. And people are arguing over, if you see the fight, where I'm going is that, see, that's not what will keep you healthy. I keep on saying it. If you want to be healthy, get on your knees, talk to the Lord, take your scriptures, and read what he said about your health. Did you hear what I said? I will say it again. During regular medical checkups, Jesus said, I'm not the one saying this, Jesus has said it. It will not extend your life by one moment. He said, which of you, by taking thought, can increase this life, your lifespan? By one, as he said, 1 cubit, depending on the translation you are using. People have gone to medical checkup, and reacted to the checkup and died. It happens. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to remove your faith from where it should not be. Is that okay? If somebody went for medical checkup regularly, it extended his life. God was not planning to kill the person. No, God wasn't. He wasn't. He was just looking at it. He said, no problem. They let him live. Let him go for checkup. Let them find something that's not going to kill him anyway. Let them treat it. And then the fellow will be alive and he'll be thanking his God that, thank God I went for checkup. God can use checkup to help somebody. I'm not saying he cannot, that he will never do that. It's possible. But you will never. You see, if God wants to take somebody, you can't rescue the person out of God's hands. Yeah. If God is not planning to, you are a Christian, I'm talking to a Christian. Please, if you are not a believer, I'm not talking to you. Please mind your business. Don't argue with things that don't concern you. It's a family matter. You're not a member of this family. So if you found this video somewhere or this message, just know I was not talking to you. Between you, chance, the devil, three of you should enjoy yourselves. Is that okay? But I'm talking to children of God. I'm talking to who? Children of God. So if you are one, pay attention to me. I say it again. If you want to be healthy, the first place you find health is on your knees and is the scriptures. Not in the hospital. There's another minister, he's an older person than me, been a doctor for longer than I have been. That day he spoke and was preaching. He's a preacher. He said, I've been, you know, when he said it, I laughed. I think my wife, where was I watching? I think it was at home. I told my wife, look at what I've been saying. The man said, I've been telling you people, once you are going to hospital, even if you are going to greet the doctor, pray. You know, what I used to say is that if you are sick, before you go there, what do? Pray. His own is that even if what you are planning to do is to greet, he said, pray. Then he told one very, I won't repeat the story now. Told one terrible story of one perfectly healthy person who the doctor decided, no. Gave one injection and the person just died. Not a bad doctor. It's life. So the man said, I've been telling you, even if he's a doctor, that's what he is. And he's a preacher. And he's been a doctor for decades. He said, I've been warning you, even if all you are going to do is to greet, he said, you should pray. Please do not forget that. Where's health? On your knees and your scriptures. Don't forget that. If you don't want to die, ask the Lord, please, I don't want to die. And listen, I've been saying this again. The Lord will send help to you. He will correct you if you have habits that kill. You know, number one habit, one of the top habits that kill, talking nonsense. Both about yourself, your country, and others. Number one killing thing is the mouth. It's not salt. It's not cholesterol. It's not sugar. Number one thing that kills is the mouth. So many times people have habits. There are many of them. If you are listening to me, your father has never blessed you. Your mother has never blessed you. If you live long, it will be in pain. Chances are you won't live long. But if you would, to be a tumultuous, who knows English here? Where are my English people? Okay, one of them is there. To be a tumultuous survivor, it's important, as simple as it might be, your mother says, oh, God bless you. And it's your mother. It's important. These are the things that keep believers alive. The brethren should love you. You shouldn't live a life, listen to this very carefully, that if you were to die suddenly, all people will say, oh, what a pity, and they will continue their life. Nobody will lose appetite because of your death. It's a very useless life. You shouldn't live a life that believers will be relieved that you are gone. Did you hear? Brother John Paul died. Okay. Thank God. I'm sure his wife will be okay now. They are relieved. Like, yeah, that guy's wahala. Nawa. And these are believers talking, though. They are relieved that, God, thank you. You have taken away our trouble. Don't live that kind of life. I won't give you details. There was a particular young man, I think in this city or close by. Very talented, very skilled in that area that God, you know, put him in life. But he didn't have discretion. Then one day he had an accident and died. And they called one young woman. Did you hear? So-and-so person had an accident and died. And she hissed, said, I warned him. And she put up her phone. Let's make a long story short. I won't say more than that. It was his, you know, like, nonsense. What were we saying? And the whole human being just died. Now, I'm not talking about how. It's not her. I'm talking about, it's him. What kind of human being are you? That's how somebody reacts to your demise. Make sure you're not like that. Somebody at least should lose appetite. Even if it's your neighbor, one old woman next door that you've been clearing her grass. So, Jumbo died. And she's thinking of her grass. That's good. Look, I'm not saying if somebody's thinking of you and grass, you will never die. That's not what I mean. But at least it should not be. I mean, you shouldn't live a kind of life that people are relieved that you are gone. That is, your presence in life is negative. There's short one we're playing those days. Somebody that you are playing 6 against 6 and he's on your team. You just know it's 5 against. Referee didn't give anybody red card, but this guy is not there. I mean, have you played set? You know what I mean? Young men should have played set now. You didn't play set. I expected only, Jonah and that John. Yenka, you play set. This one hiding behind the big television, still putting up his hand. There are guys those days. I used to call them short one. Remember, short one. He's there, like volleyball. If you play that boy in his side, back beer, he can't catch it. The Lord is good. That's their short ones in life. But shouldn't be such a negative force. People are wishing you will go away. Brethren, these are the things that keep people alive. I hope you're getting my point. We're not talking about that. But what I'm going to say is that, see, understand that these things are not games of chance. God has put some responsibilities in your hands. Watch your tongue, your exclamations. You won't hear God helping me. As part of the exclamation, I'm reacting to something. I say, I don't die. You know, it's common in Nigerian English. I don't die. I never train yourself with exclamations that kills the devil. Say, yeah, devil don't die. Devil will hear it all the time. One day he will just commit suicide. Say that. You know, exclaiming with Jesus is Lord was something I built deliberately when I was in university. I trained myself until reflexly. When something requires me to exclaim, I say, Jesus is Lord. It's a declaration. No, you can build, I shall live and not die. I say, oh, did you see that? I shall live and not die. My God, I shall live and not die. That you're exclaiming, no? Listen, watch your tongue in such a manner that if God decides to confirm everything you say, you'll come out on top. You get my point? Yeah. Be deliberate. That's okay. Let us assume God says anything you say will come to pass. I beg, arrange yourself to come out ahead. Are you getting my point? So when they say that, this country, what's going to happen to the average person? Your own reaction is that this country, the way things are going, God will save us. You see, you have explained, you have expressed exasperation, you have expressed even concern, but if the Lord were to confirm it, he will save you. I look at all the troubles ahead and the money we have. God has to come through. Is this what he just did? I said, no, God has to come through. No, this trouble can't take us over. No. It will not take us over. After all, we are children of God. And you are saying that you're angry. It's vexation. It's vexation. These are things you must train yourself in. That's the point I'm making. It's a deliberate training. I hope you're getting my point. Yes, sir. Deliberately train yourself. The Lord is good. So what have we been looking at? Just explaining the fact that, I was saying that we write the script. The job of a prophet, go into the heavens, look at the script, what has been written there, and come down to the earth and declare it. Remember, God reveals things. He does not reveal fine details. I need to sit on that again for a moment. Let's go over that. God reveals things. He hardly reveals fine details. He does not require you to make confessions of fine details. I declare I have a red car. It's not a Christian confession. It's not necessary. Are you getting my point? I always say, you know, people who teach faith, let me tell you, I will teach you faith that makes sense. Spiritual sense now, not earthly sense. One day one brother was complaining about another person's preaching. So this faith this man teaches is too mechanical. Like you have to go to school to learn where to fix the bolts and the nuts. Now how you know whether some things are right or they are not right is check examples in scriptures. When somebody tells you, write exactly what you want in fine detail, the way you want it. Ask yourself in the Bible, who did that? Do you follow my point? I mean, you don't need to put all those fine details. What the Bible says is that God can do more than the fine details you can. So tell the Lord, you know my heart too. You can do more than that. This is exactly. Now, focus on the need. All those details, like you say all the time. You say, okay, I have a red car. God says, so if I give you a silver colored one, you won't drive it. If your answer is, I'll still drive it, then that red will generate unbelief in your heart. It will. It will. Because one day your friend is going to drive to your house with one that is silver colored, which is finer than anything you've ever seen. You'll start liking it and you generate unbelief. The woman I will marry, I want her to be 5 feet, 10 inches. God said, what if she's 10.5? Or 5 feet 9? Or the most beautiful 5 feet 7 inches you have ever seen. With the spirit of, give me a number of good women in the scriptures. Sarah, Esther, Deborah, all those anointed put together. The only problem is she's 5 feet 7. And your pastor told you that I have to put in a body that's 5 feet 10. You know, you will go and say, God, last week I said 5 feet 10, Abby, but I like this girl. I will buy a 3-inch heel. It's not a problem. I will buy 3-inch heel and put on her feet. She will come to 5'10", amen. What am I saying? Such specific cities generate unbelief. They make you doubt. They toss you left and right. A virtuous woman, her height is not stated. This is your Bible. She wears high heels. She wears flats. Her weight is there. The way she paints her nails. There's godly character described in scripture. Why are you using what they call each channel to describe what you want to? Those of you that watch Big Brother, and God will soon destroy your television and your phone. You go there, watch nonsense, use it to pray. And you're wondering why Satan is pursuing you at night. If you're a Satan, why don't you pursue people like that? You spend 2 hours of your afternoon sitting down where Satan is cooking entertainment. And then you say that she don't pursue you at night. If I was Satan, I would pursue you. And nobody can stop me. Well, God, I'll go to the throne of God. I said, Lord, I've considered your daughter. Or your son, or your, whichever one of your, so one of these, your children. And I've seen that she's always coming to our house. So we can go to her house also. I said, where do you want to go? In her dreams. So as soon as you close your eyes, they start pursuing you. Where they start from? Big brother. Where I'm going is that you can't go to the worldly place to build prayer points for your life. What a good woman is written in the scriptures. Proverbs 31, right? Tells us what a virtuous woman is like. Use that one to form. And they didn't tell us her height or her educational qualification. It's not written there. A good woman is a student of Gamaliel. It's not written there. Daughters, Christian women now, are encouraged to be like Sarah. Study the life of Sarah and use it to draw a prayer point. Some of our prayer points, if God, young man, I'm talking to you. If God were to answer it, you just be spreading Jezebel all over the place. Because some of these women you are praying for, they look more like Jezebel. How does she look like? I don't know, but at least I'm just suspecting. Her makeup is like Jezebel zone. Some of these people draw on the face like I'm suspecting. The Lord is good. When we were young, they told us that was just what Jezebel looked like. The Bible didn't tell us Jezebel had makeup, did she? No, she did. He did. Yeah, when Jehu was coming. Yes. Some of you, before you go for your wedding, you go and visit Jezebel. I'm not saying that it's going to send you to heaven. I'm just saying that Guys, that should be your prayer point. Now, having said that, just reminding us that we don't sit on fine details. Now, just by some people think that, hey, Pastor Pank said, nobody should know it's issue. You use makeup. It's not true. I didn't say so. The Bible makes it clear. Even David. I was in my Bible this morning. I said, David. I thought it was war you were fighting. He said, David went and had a bath. He applied lotions and then ate his food. I said, Omo. David, if David can use lotion. Anyway, he had to use lotion. If you're not using lotion, you can't marry that number of women. They will not agree. I just realized that. That just struck me now. You don't come from war smelling the sweat and blood. Somebody will marry you. Lie. Okay, go and bathe. Use cream. Put perfume on your body. Smile. Brush your teeth. If you can't go because you killed what is Goliath, will not marry you. No. Go and bath. Remove the smell of Goliath. The Lord is good. Anyway, what I'm just emphasizing, brethren, is that we take our prayer points from what? Scripture. And the fine details are unnecessary. They are unnecessary. Let me drop this again. You know, somebody said something. I quoted it last time. That everything you know is about things that have happened, past. Let me add my own words. To the present. But every decision you have to make is about the future. Did you hear that? Everything you know is about the past. Every decision you have to make is about the future. Now, if that doesn't scare you, then you don't understand what they're saying. You don't understand life yet. Every profession, young women are running after because of wealth, has made money till now. Nobody can tell what it will do in 10 years. I grew up when I was a little boy, when construction was a big thing in Nigeria. What every young boy wanted to be was a civil engineer. Electronic engineering was not in existence as a course in the university. Yeah, when I was a little boy, when I was small, really small, you wanted to be an engineer, it was civil that was number one. Everybody, civil engineer. Why? Because those are the days of Shinobule. Okay, do you know what Shinobule? Solel Bone. That was one Israeli construction company. Micheletti. Is it Micheletti? Yes. Of course. JB came up later. All right. All those construction companies, they were everywhere. Constructing roads and dams and bridges all over Nigeria. So Leo Bone is where some people call Shinobule. You know? Shinobule means to run fast. So some people just took Solel Bone and turned it to Shinobule. Then everybody wanted to be what? A civil engineer. Later on, when we get to university, mechanical engineering was added. Then, of course, later days, by the time we're now finishing that, we're now beginning to hear of elect. But there was no computer engineering. There were no computers. Nobody went to school to go and study software engineering. No, it didn't exist. But now, civil engineers, you don't get my way. There's no big deal anymore. We don't build, we don't tire. What we are doing is maintaining the one we have built. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
So you know what does well based on past experiences. Only God knows what to do well in 10 years. That girl you are dying for now, which you don't go draw from watching too many movies. In 10 years, you won't like her again. And God knows. Hey, this boy, his head is not correct. You know he's my son. I know him. If I give him this kind of woman to marry, he will enjoy her in the next 8 years. Let's not try it. That's why, you see, why I'm adding that is that a lot of us don't trust, later I'll talk about it, a lot of us don't trust God enough to make choices, to make decisions.
Yes.
You see, that thing the Lord Jesus Christ said is something we must say all the time. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. It applies to every part of life. Don't stick something in front of you that you can't change it. I know this is the kind of thing I like. Leave that thing. God knows that you really don't like. You see, what you say you like, there's a reason for it. There's actually a reason. There is actually a reason. And the Lord knows the reason. He searches the heart. He tests the mind. And so many times, you know what he's doing for you? He's giving you a solution to the reason. Do you get my point? Let me give an example now. A friend of mine and I will talk sometime ago. He lives in the U.S. Lives abroad. So we're talking, And I'm giving some updates about something's going on in Nigeria. So years ago. Now, in United States of America, that's where he lives. Now, by the way, this is just me, all right? On the natural plane, if anybody says he's leaving Nigeria and wants to go somewhere, that's the first country I recommend. On the natural plane, all right? You know, I don't recommend anything like that. I'm just giving on the natural plane because I've considered in many, many things. I mean, I wouldn't recommend Europe for, I have my reasons, all right? Okay? So that's where my friend lives. So one day I told him some things. He now said, now listen to what he said carefully. He said, if home is like that, listen to this. What am I doing in this goddamn country? Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
He called the United States of America goddamned country. And at that time, he had lived there for a long time. He didn't like it. What does that tell you? It's not a country that's interesting him. It's something that is getting out of it. And many of us, God is saying, just ask me for that thing. Stop asking me for the method I've used to give it to somebody else. I keep telling young women, if you hate poverty because when you were young, you experienced a lot of it, it's not a problem. Go and tell the Lord about it. Don't use it to marry. Because the Chinese proverb says, men often meet their destinies on the road they chose to avoid it. All right? You want to use your own method to solve a problem, you'll be amazed. That only leads into that problem. Hey, by the way, as a small aside again, let me go. I feel like saying this. This one of don't tell, when you have a dream, don't tell anybody. Joseph told, look at what happened to him. That's a very silly analogy. It's a very silly warning. Because when Joseph told, what did the enemies do? They sought to kill him. They ended up selling him into slavery. In slavery, he entered Oga Potiphar's house. From Oga Potiphar's house, Mrs. Potiphar arranged and sent him to jail. What happened in jail? Pharaoh found him and his dream was confirmed. So may you tell your dream. Do you get my point? People who are wanting you not to tell, they didn't read the story of Joseph. Do you follow? The enemies only helped him, accelerated, propelled him, and he got into his destiny early. When you want to travel, don't tell anybody. It's the reason why the journey will not go well. If you have told somebody as you are going, you know I'm traveling abroad next week. That's good. Where are you going? What country are you going? He said, So what do you mean? You open the news and show you want to postpone your journey. Let the war stop. Russia was about to invade Ukraine. You know, I know secret things. And you were on your way to Ukraine. But if he said no to tell anybody, you'll be calling from there. Hello, hello, hello. Please, can you evacuate me? He said, evacuate you for what now? He said, right now, I'm in Ukraine. They are bombing Ukraine. You are in Ukraine? But I saw you last week. I talk Unano now. He said, so I didn't want to tell you. You know, actually, my flight was 3 days after that. He said, stay there. Stay there. He said, you didn't want to tell me. I could have told you not to go. Please, don't be afraid. They are trying to sell that fear to us. Refuse it. It's a scripture you must keep quoting. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For the Lord is with me. I jumped one. He prepares a table before me in the presence. Look, my enemies can be aware of it. Bishop Odipo used to say this, those days when he's teaching us, that if you don't have enemies, how will God prepare a table? So please, these days of being afraid of enemies, please, let's leave that. Are you getting my point? Let's leave that thing. It's not necessary. It's because it's a blessing. You hide it. Why should I hide it? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord keep quiet about it. He said, but Jesus healed some people and said, see that you tell no man. Okay, that's no. I answer that. At the same time, he said, go home and tell what the Lord has done. Didn't he tell some people that way? There are people that he said, when he said, don't tell anybody, what was he talking about? Don't expose me before my time. It was for his sake, not for... And they still went ahead and told. I did not lose the healing. Yes, sir. You understand? The second reason he told some people not to tell anybody is that that place was full of unbelief. So just walk... He said, don't go back to that... No, he didn't say don't tell anybody. He said, don't go into that village. Why? It was a place where there was so much unbelief in the air. Those are the only times I tell people. not to discuss their issues, not because of fear of witches. What I'm going to emphasize is that, so please, let's not, those who are telling us not to tell now, it's because they are afraid, and we will refuse to give in to fear. Are you getting my point? We will refuse to give in to fear. When Joseph told, and enemies plotted against him, what happened? The plot only became the stepping stones that the Lord arranged to carry him into the place of his destiny. So please, relax. Are you getting my point?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Now, I said, let me quickly say something. I'm getting to that.
Yes, when they are not avoiding the road.
Yes, good, thank you. So look, let's trust God. That's the point I'm making. If whatever it is that you really, don't tell the Lord how to solve it. Do you follow? My wife and I were discussing yesterday. There was a time people said, no, if you want to, you go abroad, get a master's, get a PhD. I've not seen it work for anybody. If you're looking for a reason, you know, those countries will give you a visa if you pay for a master's and pay for a PhD. That's what a lot of people use it for. You go abroad, get a master's, get a PhD. I said, what will not happen? Most companies in Nigeria, they don't care. They give you study leave without pay. You come back, they absorb you back. And they will never give a damn about whether you have a master's or you have a PhD. They are more concerned about your productivity. They are not concerned about it. Most of them. One of our sisters at that time, her matter was interesting. Had a very beautiful job. I guess she saved up money. They went abroad to get him. Came back. That's why they didn't employ her back. And she didn't get any other one for the next 4 or 5 years. I'm telling you the truth. Your wife is surprised. You don't notice that happened. She was shocked to hear it. You didn't say once you come back. Let me just say, people at home, they are even angry with you. You think you want to intimidate us, eh? Push angry. Jack Welch. I think it's Jack Welch. Yes, Jack, straight from the God, Jack Welch. Who was it? Was Jack Welch that was the head of GE at the time. They called the man, Mr. Welch, how are you doing? Then, Dr. This. They call somebody, why do you call him doctor? Why do you call him mister? Say, he has a PhD. Engineer, he's an engineer. He went and enrolled for a PhD program. As soon as he got it, I'm not the one that says so. He wrote in his book. He said it was a useless adventure. One, he never used the title. He did not use the title. Apart from the fact that he did not use the title, you know, when you understand things like General Electric and all of that, those big companies, they don't promote you into the big positions based on hyper-specialization. They don't. When you become a PhD in engineering, you can never be a CEO if you focus on it. Because they need you to be broad-based. You must be good with HR, good with marketing, accounting, be able to supervise the engineering people, everything at the same time. Such people don't have PhDs. More like they don't need it. Those that have it, they learn other skills. He learned other skills, and he wrote in his book, straight from the gods, by Jack Welch, that it was a useless adventure, a waste of his time. Because he never used the title. By the time he was finishing it, other things were happening in his life. He didn't have time for the title. And finally, he became the boss of one of then. It's not now that Microsoft and Co. they've collected everything. Those days, GE was one of the most capitalized companies in the world. He became the CEO eventually. And he said, look, this is my PhD. It was a waste of my time. Where I'm going is that stop telling God how to do it. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
Stop telling God how to do it. You want to go and visit a woman. You have gone to Boroka. Not knowing that she's believing God for a man that they have to go struggle together. That calf just disqualified you. And then to make it worse, you went and borrowed a very nice one. And you now use it to carry at a very nice restaurant. Just she blocked you after that day. Not doing that now borrow pose. Do you get my point? Yeah, you borrowed it to pose with it. You didn't know. Or she found out and decided that, don't mind him, he's very fake. You know, the place you arrive in your keke and say, that guy is so humble, he's very real. The way they will paint it there, he's real. Yeah. You don't know. It's called lighting your own fire. Christians, learn to trust. Do you follow my point?
Yes.
Learn to trust. Has God gone for the things you want? You get my point? What exactly is the issue? Because the road God will use to take you there is not the general road. Usually it's what they call narrow, straight. You know what it means? Only one person is using that road. After that, you expire. You get my point? When they use the word straight, is the gate. What it means is when you squeeze through. Not many people have passed it before you. It's one way you probably wouldn't even suspect. But that is good. Yeah, I've taken too much time on that though. Just trying to get things. So, writing scripts, all right? Every part of your life, write scripts. It's called prophesying. You will take the will of God and use your mouth. When you are praying for yourself, these are the things you do. It's not every time you have a critical need. Lord, I need food. I need soap. No, not every time you need that. I need a new car. I need a house. No. Just get up to pray. Like Jesus Christ prayed. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Such statements should be made by you all the time. Opportunities will come. Crossroads will be put in front of you. You have to make a decision concerning going left or right. Or going on straight. Kneel down and say, Lord, this life is for serving you. This life will fulfill your purpose. You're not making any requests yet. You're just declaring. In the name of Jesus, I will not go on a road that God did not preordain. Before I was born, the Lord knew me. He ordained me for a particular purpose. The days of my life were written in his book before there was any one of them. I won't walk on the road of Satan. I won't walk on the road of this world. I won't walk on my own road. People build their own destinies. They make their own plans. In the name of Jesus, I will not walk in a plan that's not the Lord's own. You have not said anything yet. You have not said, I will take the job. I won't take the job. You have not said, I will marry the man. I won't marry the man. You get my point? You have not said, I will study this course. I won't study. You've not said anything. You've just told yourself. And look, in the realm of the spirit, they know how to arrange the outcome of these things. And that's why, let me drop this again. When you're writing the script of your life like this, it's not everything you will like when God is working it out. For example, you know, if let me just tell you something. If you love the Lord, it's a very nice life. Fundamentally, just love the Lord. As part of loving the Lord, be determined that one day you will hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Now you tell him all the time, Lord, this is where I want to. This is what I'm going to. This is the real place I'm going, you know. I want to be exactly like the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to be able to say, this is my beloved son in whom I want a well place. You know, you just keep telling the Lord that. You know what I'm saying? So, after that, life is fun. You know why? There are times your tire will just come off and disappear into the bush and you don't have spare. And that's the only way God could get you not to go there. Do you follow my point?
Yes.
This car. That's the way you now learn to give thanks. Because God makes all things work together for good to them that love God and who are called according to his purpose. Don't be angry. That is when you're about to pay for a new house. The landlord will just call, tell the agent, I'm not renting it again. I'm renting it out again. My son is coming back from Mexico. I want him to have the house. There's no need to be angry. Count your money. Call the man and say, thank you, sir. God will bless you, sir. God will bless you. You won't know why. The will of God has just been expressed through his mouth. But you have, before then, you've written the script of your life. And that's why thanksgiving is very important, because faith is what you use to activate these things. If you start complaining every time things don't go, which is what I'm talking about, many times things will not go the way you planned it. Many times. Elder John, you know, when we had that program that day, that man was making some statements. Let's not mention the name. He said, I said I'll marry by this time. I'll be a millionaire by this time. And then like that. No, I sat down and said, you know, I've always said that if everything is working the way you planned it, there's a problem. That's what I was talking. He said, I'll have my first son by this time. You remember that statement he made? He said, but the Lord shut the womb. I said, I noticed that you looked at me at that time. At that point, you just looked at me and laughed. He said, the Lord decided that he and his wife were too young. He said, two babies can't be raising a baby. I noticed that you looked at me and laughed. He said, Pastor, this is all you said. Look, sometimes God can give a revelation of what he wants to do in your life. And somebody now says that it's because you didn't determine it. Who is it that says a thing and it comes to pass? when the Lord has not commanded it. Speak all you want. If the Lord didn't command it, forget it. So when he got to that point, he said that thing. He said, so the Lord shut the womb. I said, oh. He does shut the womb. For you, it was a physical womb. For some, it's a financial womb. Yeah. For some, he said, no, it's ministry. I've put you in my quiver. I made a sharp and select arrow, but I hid you in my quiver. So much that Isaiah was frustrated. It was a prophetic word anyway. And God said, relax. The plan you have is too small for the one that I have. So stay in the quiver until the time comes for us to shoot you forth as an arrow. You hear of which of these missionaries now? Let me not mention names because I can't quickly confirm it. It's very well known for being a missionary to either China or Africa. I'm not very sure which of these two. Now, two people are in my head. When he left his country to go on missions, all right? Where it says sail for is not where you know him for now. You know why? He couldn't get to that place because there was war. There was trouble. So he had to go somewhere else. And that's what you now know him for. The Lord diverted him to where he wanted him to go. I don't have time to be thinking about and confirm who it is. So I can mention that next time. So listen. You have to it's a very important spiritual mechanism we must learn. How to allow God take control of the steering of your life. That's why I said, don't give him fine details. Don't. The secret things belong to him. The ones he has revealed, focus on that. Just focus on it. Like I said, there's a purpose for your life. We don't always know it. Please. Motivational speaking is good though. There's motivational speaking, right? There's also motivational hearing. So hearing motivational speech is okay. I'm not saying it is okay. It is wrong. All right? However, most people that hear those things don't get anything out of it. I know what I'm saying. It's just the way life is. Not because people are bad. It's just the way life is. Okay? So don't get carried away by following the steps a motivational speaker gave you. And don't be discouraged when it doesn't come to pass like you wrote. Don't be discouraged. God has his own plans. Those motivational speech things they go into too much fine details. Take the word of God, use it to motivate yourself. Like I said, God has a plan for my life. I may not know the details, but I will fulfill it. I said this before, David did not have a vision of the throne. I hope you are aware of that. The throne happened to him. Joseph did not know he would get into Egypt, and that was where his destiny would be fulfilled. They took him to, they didn't ask his consent. Going to Egypt, is it in line with a plan that you have? I hope you are aware, nobody discussed that. Because that guy would never have had a plan that his father would agree with that's not somewhere around his father. His mother had died, the love of his life. The first son where the girl born. His plan is to build a bigger sheepfold that will be so rich, people will come and bow down to him. That's the way the destiny will have been fulfilled as far as he's concerned. Nobody asked. One part I liked about that guy's about his life was how he got a wife. And it's very godly. Some people think that I must chase a woman. There are times, some of you, I have told you, I'll buy a suit. You will wear it. You will come to church. Then that day, you will find a woman and say, I will do the joining. You do take her to be your lawful wedded wife. You say, yes, sir. Because if you can't do it yourself, we'll do it for you. I'm serious. Just say, you, marry this girl. When he comes, say yes. Sir, I'm your senior. I'm watching out for your good. Leave all these things. You don't even have enough sense to know what is good for you. I know you. That was what Pharaoh did to Joseph. Yeah, he gave him an office. And they said, is it my Oga? He's just coming from prison. Oh, okay. The Potiphar high priest just came in. Potiphar was greeting the king. He said, last time we came to your house, that your daughter that served us, has she married now? No, my lord, go and bring her. They dressed Joseph up. Joseph, behold thy wife. Miss Potiphera, behold thy husband. By the way, in our house, they're that place. All right? Okay, I give you 1 week to get to know each other. Work starts next week. See, all this one, I'll fall in love is nonsense. Are you getting my point? See, it doesn't mean anything. Fall in love with somebody does not mean anything. You can marry somebody you don't love. Arranged marriage is the will of God. They can post a wife to you, and it's God says, okay. I'm telling you, some people just be carrying things that they watch in films and want to act it in real life. Go buy rose they can't afford, send gifts you don't know. At the end, the guy will say no. Let them marry her for you first before you start spending your money. You know, I've been telling the story of my friend. He's in this town, he's a pastor in this city. Your guy. Married a wife for him. Just called him. Said, oh boy, how are you doing? He said, I'm fine. How's everything going? He said, any woman on the line? He said, no. He said, okay, I know the woman you will marry. So this is the woman you are going to marry, okay? He said, I know you. Don't worry. She's good for you. He had never seen the woman. They finished marrying her before he saw her for the first time. Working with engineers, I'm like, machine, I'm telling you, working very well. They did wedding, they did traditional wedding, everything. They had not seen her. He told me, he said, the only thing I saw, he said, one day, he said, okay, it's not this modern day when you can, it's a picture. They sent a picture to him, not a personal picture. The man could only find a group photo, and she was in a group. And was not looking at the camera. The first time he saw her was at the airport. They were already married. They don't finish everything. They just fly. You know, the way we Christians, I will not do the church side. That was the only one they did after. They don't pray bright. They don't do everything. Throughout the traditional side, completed. I think maybe they put his photo there or something. I don't know. Rabbi Zacharias in his day told the story by his brother. He heard the story. Brother was going home. They had married the wife for him. Married the wife for the brother. So he was worried that, look, when you get there, what if you don't like the guy? He said, the brother, how is that possible? He said, that love is as much a feeling as it is a decision. That's so he has made a decision. So the decision part is what he's using. When I get there, he said, are you the wife? He said, okay. Didn't you read your Bible? Thank you. Did Isaac know who Rebecca was? They finished marrying Rebecca. The real can say, is that my husband? He said, yes. Okay. She can't do like wife. And the Bible says he took her to her mother's tent and he was comforted. Some of you choose wife by yourself. Me, we're not trouble. See, mommies have too much sense. That's what I'm saying. You think you have sense? You think we have sense? We have too much of it. Foolish sense that we have. Let nobody give you all this trick, and choose a right mate. There's no trick. You pray. How did the servant of, assume it was Eliezer, all right, the servant of Abraham, how did he pray his prayer? No, it's simple. How did he pray? He said, now, okay, what was it? He said, the one you have chosen for my master. That's what he said. He said, this is how, Lord, let it be that the woman that, basically he came there to discover who God had chosen. How did he know? I suspect, I read in between the lines many times. I suspect that Abraham told him, in many, many conversations, I'm a man of the covenant. My son is inheriting the covenant. So God will have gone ahead to arrange things for his life. So Eliezer, or the servant of Abraham, went on a discovery mission, not interview. Okay, so if you marry my master, what's your plan for, you know, interview? I'm going to respect him. I'm going to pray with him. No! He just prays, hey, Lord, see, I'm not here to beat around the bush. They say you chose somebody. Please, let me know who you chose. The easiest way is that I'm here right now. Send the person here. And God sent the person. And they asked Rebecca, will you go? Rebecca said, I want to go. I'm tired of this house. Because later I realized that Laban was not nice. Living with Laban was not a good idea. Say, Abel, let me go. The Lord is good. But let me sit on my message. All of you are just making me talk the thing that is not part of today's message. So we arrange our lives, amen?
Amen.
It's an instruction for parents that I'm giving today. Let me start by saying, I can start, right?
Yes,
Okay, so the other day, everything helps you now. We're greeting each other and just laughing. Let's now start. The Lord is good. Hey, by the way, all of you that want to laugh at me, I found out that, Geraldine was telling me today, the things that her eyes have seen, I've never preached for more than 3 hours in my life. There are ministers that preach for 8 hours. Dami has done 7 hours at a stretch. And he's a junior minister. I'm the bishop here. Elder John, who's the bishop? Say, Elder John, say, I'm the bishop. Well, Dami has done 7 hours. Have you not? See. I've never done more than 3 hours. Okay, maybe 3.5. Yeah, maybe 3.5. Not up to 4. I'm feeling unanointed. Geraldine told me about 8 hours. Brother Billy, 7, 8, 9. Paul of Tarsus. People fall down and die. You know, you guys must let me one day. We'll just arrange. I just come with the anointing. I'm going for 10 hours. The Lord is good. It shall happen. That's what I'm looking forward to. Some people are reducing the number of hours they pray, how long they preach, so that church can grow. I don't care. Even if now only 2 people remain, that message, I will preach it until, in fact, even I tie, I will put chair. I will sit down, I will continue preaching. Thank you. It's not today, so don't be afraid. The Lord is good. All right. No, anytime I see things, I get inspired. Well, Geraldine inspired me today. So this man preached 8 hours. I said, all this well. Even Dami has done 7. And he's a junior minister. Elder John, again, who's the bishop? The Lord is good. Now let me start the main thing, the prayer I want to pray for today, okay? And this is how you must pray these prayers, all right? That's what I'm trying to instruct us concerning. This is start. Let's talk about children. Why? My daughter gave me a story that happened in school. They asked, I think their lecturer asked in class, how many people, if given the opportunity, wants to go abroad, let's just open the door to go abroad now from here, come out for school. How many do? More than half of the class, hands went up. Okay, how many of you are not, how many people are planning? If you see the question kept on going. By the time they finished, a class of a few hundreds of people, it's only 3 of them had their hands down. We're not looking for opportunity. If you bring it now, we're not following you. So she looked. Said, well, looks like I was raised differently. That's what she said. Everybody had, And she said, she wasn't informing for anybody. Nobody knew she was there. The man was just trying to explain some things. Was not doing a poll. Okay, if you are looking for, I'm adding my own words now. Oh, will I go and tell my father self? Maybe you don't know who my father is. I told you the day Akinlo was in church, somebody gave a testimony how he bet 300 naira in one of these funny, crazy betting houses online, and he won 2 million. And the pastor said, that will be your testimony. He and his friends began to argue that this is nonsense. Nobody should say this. No, they were kind of arguing. What rubbish is this? How can betting care? One of them now said to him, I better leave that thing. You know, he was saying that if I win that kind of money, hey, I can't go home and tell my father that kind of thing. And I said, leave that. If you go home with 2 million naira, your father will be very happy. Akinlo looked at him and said, you don't know my father, so let's end the discussion. Say, there's no need. This is that, like, I can't argue that. Because my father would want to know how a betting app found it. It's not, you are thinking of the money. The man is concerned about how a betting app entered your phone. How your spirits took 200 or 300. I think the person bet 200 and won 3 million. Something like, yes. That it's always that my father would want to know. And before I die, I should be able to tell him. And right now, I don't know what I will say. Let's not just go there. Just by the way, I saw a guy today. I saw a testimony, so I didn't listen to it. It was a video. How gambling, this betting thing, young man said it almost killed him. Until Jesus delivered him. His own testimony was deliverance from gambling. You know, because God has set you free, you don't know what people are going through. You don't know what they are going through. You know, that's by the way. So where I'm talking about children. I want to explain instruct the people of God again to understand why God gives Christians children. Listen to me, why he gives you children. What he wants is that whatever he started with you, because many things God wants to do cannot be finished in one generation. Do you get my point? With all the faith Abraham had, he couldn't carry it to the fulfillment in his own life. So he had to hand the baton over to Isaac. It's a relay. When I was in secondary school, my favorite sport, all right, it was track and field relay races. I used to go from one school to the other to watch invitation relay. I love the exchange of batons. That's how life is. God wants us to pass the baton in one generation to another. Are you following my point? Let me say it again. The plan of God is that we'll pass the baton in one generation to another so that his overall plan can progress generation to generation. Please, don't forget what I'm saying. The Lord didn't give you children so you can be... Which word do I use? Help me. Like for your own comfort, for your own personal satisfaction. Not Christians. That's not his purpose. His purpose is simple. Whatever I began in you cannot be finished in your lifetime. No, it's not possible. You will sow yourself as a seed into the next generation, then I will carry on my purpose in the next generation. One of the things my wife will tell me once in a while is that she goes around, I mean, meet people, you know, sometimes friends, you know, family and all of that. And she said, look, I don't think this person has passed the seriousness of faith to the children. And if you're listening to me, you have to ask yourself, am I passing the seriousness of this faith to these kids? Many of us don't realize that they are a responsibility in that. No, they are not a responsibility just that you give them food and train them not to steal and not to do what is bad. No. Part of your responsibility is to train them for the assignment of God in their lives. Now, they should not start where you started. It has gone too far. See, there would have been no Albert Einstein if there was no person or people. The generation of Einstein would not have happened if they did not study what the generation of Newton did. You had to learn classic mechanics first. Somebody had to calculate the speed of light. Somebody need to tell you about gravity, how large bodies interact in the universe. Those ones had to be completed. For those who would take it to the minute and what they call quantum levels to come up later and tell you that all this you learned those days, you know, light travels in a straight line. I learned that in secondary school. Later, Albert Einstein said, no. Gravity can affect light. I didn't know it was possible. They brought up what they call space-time. And he proved it. It would never have crossed the mind of people like Isaac Newton. Gravity, bend light. Light moves in a straight line. They say, no. It can bend. It responds to gravity. Do you follow? Now, Isaac Newton had to finish his own. And this man had to read the Isaac Newtons, then carry the theories to another level. And those, their theories, they are not textbook theories. They are practical. On Saturday, I used GPS in Enugu to track it, to take one of our brothers to a particular place, to his hotel. Now, the point I'm making is that, you know how accurate that thing is? And the thing that's locating where you are, there are three satellites at a time calculating your position. Yeah, they are very accurate. And these satellites are several kilometers up in space. This is where I'm going. Do you know they calculate for difference in time? You know what I mean is this. When you move, Albert Einstein says time compresses and dilates. Okay, the English is getting too much. Let me stop. But the point I'm making is that Einstein's theory of relativity is used to calculate your position. If they used Newtonian mechanics to calculate it, they would be missing it all the time. Because as the satellites are moving, the time is different on each one. You set the time to be the same. When they start moving, they start losing time and gaining time based on their speed. Let me not go into further details, because people are looking like, what are you saying? What I'm saying is that the GPS you are using now would not have worked if all we know is what Isaac Newton and Co. taught. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
There are many men, I will not mention their names, who I quote all the time. I quote a lot. Yesterday night, was it yesterday night? Do you know when we were in your house? Yesterday night, right? No, we're still talking. And I said, this man said, I said, no, that area, I don't agree with him. Before, it's like, do you know more than this man? I said, after listening to them for hundreds of hours, if I've not improved on what they know, somebody has failed here. It's not a personal superiority. It's an advantage of not starting from where they started. Take a man like Kenneth Hagin. Within a few years, I'd read everything he wrote over 50 years. I don't know whether I get my point. All the books that he wrote from his experiences, all the preaching, in a few years, I'd read everything. I have a place to build on that he did not have. Let's not lie now. There's something Mike Murdock said once. He believes in buying books. He said, someone they bought a man's book. I guessed whose book it was. Because a man's book is pretty expensive. I mean, you sell one book, $250. A book. I don't care how big it is. I bought all the compilation of Oswald Chambers for $25. Now, you don't. In book form, it's 30 books. I bought it for $25 that time. Now, this man's book was going for $250. And it's not half as big as what I bought in Oswald Chambers. So somebody was telling Mike Murdock, why are you buying this? It's kind of expensive. He said, everything he knows for $250, no, it's not expensive. You're not catching it?
Yes.
He said, this man, the wealth of experience for $250, he said it's not expensive. You can look at a book for $250. It looks pretty expensive, doesn't it? But he came from the angle of, how else will I get the things that are inside him? I didn't have $250 that time when I saw this man's book. But so that's what he was talking about. Okay? So I've not read the book till now, and I don't know the things that are inside. Do you get where I'm going? I'm using this to explain the fact that whatever blessing God has given a parent is supposed to be a starting point for the next generation. Listen, many of us Christians don't look at life from that perspective. Please, I need to say this for Christian parents. Your children don't need security. That's not what they need. They don't need money you have saved for them. Many of us think that Nigeria is very difficult. It's a very rough place. Let me go and keep my children somewhere else. It's not good thinking. Listen, before they were born, why do you think it's only you that God knew? You know, so many of us, it's arrogance. God called me. You think he didn't call your son? Do you get my point? You think he doesn't have a specific plan? If you read it well, God had more detailed plans for Jacob than Isaac's life. Isaac's life was fairly straightforward. Jacob's life needed a lot of tuning, adjustment, panel beating, sandpaper, spraying, break it apart, rearrange it. Isaac shouldn't feel special. That's what I'm making. Do you know many of us Christians will behave like that? I'm the one that God called. One man said something. He said, you know they fast. He said, my father has fasted for the next generation. The guy, they chop. He can't large. It is chop. Now, I'm not saying you should go hungry and die. That's not what I'm making. It was the fact that you might say, oh, God, spirituality is not on your side. You say, my father has done enough to last two generations. Brethren, is a lie. Your father's life, putting myself, assuming I'm talking to that young man, your father's life should be a challenge. You should have been saying to God, wherever this man reaches, I should go beyond it. Again, small aside. If you check it in our country, check it very well. Just think about it. It's not common to find wealth that has lasted generations. It's not common. See, I don't know about now. Henry Ford as an example. I don't know about now, okay? Henry Ford III. You understand? Now, not all the children were Henry Ford, though. I think they jumped one generation. They didn't name their children Henry. I think so. But Henry Ford III was heading Ford Motor Company. You didn't get my point? Ford had a son. The great-grandson of Henry Ford was heading Ford Motor Company, last time I checked. That was Ford the Third. That was his name. Most of us, by the time we build something, during the building, as soon as we become rich, the children have all gone to Europe. We've carried all of them to America. I know what used to pain me. All they are there is workers. Can be a doctor, can be a lawyer, can be anybody, just working. A young man came, I had to help him, family friend, so I was going to embrace a doctor. So I asked him a simple question. I said, I just wanted to know. If I remember, his father is a surgeon. I said, your father owns the hospital, doesn't he? He said, yes. So I said, so who are you leaving it for? That was the simple question I asked him. Who are you leaving it for? Of course, he had no answer. He now made a statement, which I said, they didn't teach you. He's not bad, he's a young man. He said that, well, if he goes to, he was going to UK, that there, he'll be able to earn enough money to pay a doctor to take his father, care of his father's clinic. His father's hospital, I didn't want to laugh, he's a young guy, so I think I told him that it doesn't work like that, leave that. In summary, it doesn't work like that. His heart cannot be there. So I just told myself, once his father retires, that place shuts down. There's no fight about it. It is that man will never build a large, maybe internationally renowned hospital. It will never happen. He has lived his life. His son has gone and said, Nigeria is a useless country. Let Nigeria not happen to me. Nigeria will not happen to him. All right? There are different ways Nigeria happens to people. You understand? Nigeria has happened to Dangote. Nigeria has happened to, Atedola. Nigeria has happened to many of these guys. The only trouble, they happen to a lot of people. So, that's their own Nigeria. But whatever it is that God has planned for that place will end. Now, I'm not saying this to be angry with anybody. Okay? But these are facts. See, these are facts. Many of us, we believe more in financial gain than in visions accomplished. Do you get my point? Yeah. A lot of us take whatever blessing God has given us as a way to run our children out of that purpose. As a general rule, it's a bad thing we do. One man was analyzing, he's a South African business guy, he speaks a lot. He was saying that if you check in South Africa, he said, do you think it's a game of chance that the Indians, that's in South Africa, and I think the Jews also, I don't know whether I talked about them, that how they own businesses. He said one problem South Africa had was they were trying to create instant wealth when apartheid ended, wanted to just make the black people rich. He said for the whites there, the wealth was generational. And he wasn't talking, some of us look at this as privilege. It's not about privilege. It's about responsibility. They told us then that Jews in America, from the time they are young, as a group, they are very well-to-do, very rich, very influential and all of that. Then one of the things they do is that they teach their children the value of every dollar. But then that boy is finishing high school. He knows how to earn money. He knows how to manage money. Maybe in his 30s, you make him the head of a bank, he'll do well. You are looking like a privilege. It's not privilege. They trained him to be a CEO from the time he was young. Christian parents, listen to this. Now, please, I'm not trying to record this, but let me just explain. How many people have watched the Mazao movies in recent times? Did you watch Mount Zion done by the father? Did you see the difference between the two? No, there are times I ask my wife. I said, this man must be so proud. Yes. You know. Yes. No, they did 40 years anniversary of Mount Zion. Last month, I think, or 2 months ago. I said, this man must be so proud. Initially, when they started, the scripts he used to write were very deeply spiritual, more than that of his sons. But now, those boys write scripts, their father has to read and salute. Let's forget their cinematography. No, they are taking this thing to another level. I said, this man must be so proud. I am proud of him. I'm happy because many people that have prospered the way he must have along the line, they will have found something else for those children to do. What's his name again? Bamiloye. What's his name? Mike, yeah. Brother Mike, God will bless you and all of that. You won't die now. But if he dropped dead today, nobody will miss him. I mean, those of us, I'm not talking about, he's not important. What I'm trying to say is that those of us who watch, the movie ministry will just continue.
All of us will mourn, we will out of respect. But it won't cross your mind that they will close. You know, when I was younger, those days, you know, have you seen people before? Hey, why is this man taking over this man's ministry? Why is his son that's taking over? I'll be honest with you, I've stopped talking. I've lived long enough to shut up. I won't say more than that for now. All I just do is watch Mount Zion. My wife and I were watching at home. I just say, Kai, this man must be so proud. I said, this man must be so proud that these boys, his children, they've carried this to another level. In most movies now, he's sitting down. He's one senior pastor. He's a bishop. Gone are the days where he's wearing a agbada and running up and down. It's not the turn of the boys to be wearing a agbada and running up and down. They don't wear agbada, they wear suits, whatever. You know? But I said, They'll do a movie from beginning to the end. You hardly see him. Sometimes he just appears one or two roles. I said, this man must be so proud. Most of us don't think like that. Our own is that, I have money now. So, this thing I'm building, it's so I can educate you. We don't even believe in what we are doing. We don't believe in it now. Now, and this forms the way we pray for our children. Because that's what I want us to go into next. Writing the scripts for the children, for the next generation. It forms the way we pray for them. All we want is for them not to fall sick, for them to have food to eat, and then maybe they'll have a place to stay where there's no trouble. You have to live in a place where there are no bandits, there are no kidnappers, and there's no power failure. And then, listen to this. We think we have succeeded. You want to hear today? We failed. It's failure. God didn't give you children so that they can become another statistical item. It is so that whatever I began in your life will be planted into them as seeds. And then it will grow to another level in the next generation. That's God's plan. God's plan is that I'll begin something in you. You will take those things and plant them as seeds in those, and you'll be concerned. Because, see, listen, we're not thinking for God. You're not the one planning for him. I pray we understand. Carnegie said that God told him ahead of time that he didn't have two children. Do you follow my point? That the first is going to be a boy, the second is going to be a girl. It's not everybody reveals like that, too. But what I'm trying to say is that the children are not an afterthought for him. Each one is born, and each one has a purpose. Each one has a purpose. God knows exactly. So when you want to pray for them, you know we're talking about prayer. What are we doing with all this talk? So when you are praying, you know that God will find my son a good job. It's not the primary thing. It's, Lord, what did you send him into my house to train him for? And that is what he must accomplish. And from the time they are young, you start instructing them. God had a plan for your life before you came into my house. My job is to give you instruction in righteousness and justice and explain to you what I'm saying. And that, see, you know how Moses knew what his plan, God's plan was? Because God had told his parents. So by the time God sent him back into their house for him to grow up, they instructed him. If you had given them the opportunity to send Moses to a place where he would be safe and would not be a slave, would it have made sense? Out of Egypt? No. He had to stay in Egypt. He had to be a deliverer for the... See, that whole family would have been a failure if that guy didn't understand what it means to be a deliverer. If he had been a successful farmer in... Maybe there was Egypt. In Ethiopia. Ethiopia was there that time. In Ethiopia. I've become a ruler in Ethiopia. Waging wars all over the place. And he's not carried the people into the promised land. His father, his mother, his brother, that's Aaron, Miriam, and him. That whole lineage will have been a failure. I hope you're getting my point. Please listen to me. What you need to do is just have these thoughts in your mind. You know, I keep saying it. Once you think of these things, you are more than halfway there. Yeah, once you think, once you have the thoughts, once you are able to think about these things, you are more than halfway there. And as I'm telling you now, when it comes to your children, this is how you reason. When you are training them, we are talking to them, you are teaching them. And that's why, see, I know what I'm saying. As much as possible,
when you are raising kids, unless you're not a serious Christian yourself. A lot of people are not serious Christians, so they don't have anything to teach these children. So in fact, God will just take, like Ben Carson said, his father was just a useless man, you understand? So God drove the man out of his house. Now, by the way, he didn't call his father useless. That would have been a very rubbish thing for him to say. But when he described the man, I knew it was a yeye man. It was a guy, old guy. Latest fashion. Bling, bling, bling. At any cost. He said, if that man had stayed around, we would never have become what we became. So, but I'm talking about serious believers. As much as possible, be around your children as much as possible. Talk to them. Watch movies with them and tell them what this man is doing is wrong, what this one is doing is right. Let them hear the word. Let them know what you are learning. Let them learn it too. Pass the spirit. On Saturday, we'll be talking about spirit. Pass the spirit into them also. And then, you know, it's our school of prayer. When you are praying for them, these are the things you are praying about too. Do you follow my point? When you are praying, these are the things that concern you in prayer. Because, you see, if you do well, do well, do well, finish in your own life, at the end of the day, the anointing is truncated. Mount Zion movies, you know, like we're talking about Mount Zion, it ends with Mike Bamiloye. Then one day is old and tired, we'll not be telling stories. There used to be one Mount Zion those days. If you watch their film, ah, my God, that ministry. But it's history. There's a particular man somewhere, it's not around here, very far from here. He had a very beautiful company, influenced all of us. Now, he's late now, and the company has died. No, it has been taken over by all kinds of people. It's no longer where it used to be. What happened? It's the same thing that happens all the time. As children were growing, and they were graduating, the man had a lot of money. He was what? Sending them abroad, go here, go there, go there. They became big people wherever they are. I mean, like average people, nothing big, just average people. And then the man now, it wasn't old, but he reached some good age. And then he died. See, most people in life are nothing but hirelings. And you want to stay far away, 10,000 kilometers away, and be telling hirelings how to run your business. You're a joker. So I told my wife, I said, you see, as good as that business is, as great as it was, it didn't last more than one generation for reasons that we all understand. Many of the hotels and business, I mentioned Ford, some of these hotel chains, or you find that the father started it 80 years ago. It's the great grandchildren that are running it now. They are mostly family businesses. International. But you know, in Nigeria, we don't have many of that. Please correct me. Yeah, we don't have many. Most of these construction firms, they die off. In fact, he sent the children I brought to go and read. You understand? They never came back. As an example, there's nobody, because you know, things change, things evolve. A younger person needs to catch the current, this thing, wave and ride and go. No, only hirelings are there. You don't blame them. They will mismanage it. It's not their own. There's a different, actually there are three kinds of workers. You know, I've explained it before. What are they? Owners, good shepherds, and hirelings. And I said, good shepherds are usually what? Owners. You can have a good shepherd that's not an owner. Just like Jacob was. Joseph also was, you understand? But they are unusual. But the Bible calls, if the person is a hare, when he's young, it doesn't differ from a servant who's working in the house. But he's be faithful in his house, knowing there is a heir in the house. Things that he's going to take over. So you treat him as a servant. He treats the business as a heir, as an owner. What are heirs? Owners who are still young. They're the ones that grow business from one generation to another. But you know, many times when there's a spiritual principle, they're saying to us, a lot of us in this, our environment, in our nation, our continent, that says that, no, you won't go far, you won't go far. One of the things that spirit does to us is help us promote our children out of relevance in what God has given us as a vision. If you had kept your children in that place, somebody would say he has an opportunity elsewhere. Forgetting that place is not his own. That place is not his own. I'm talking about prayer. Let me not sit on business matter. Let's read. So when you want to write a script for your children, that's the point I'm making. When you're writing the script about their life, please let's read some scripture. I'm just going to read a number of this and then we'll leave it there. Continue on this particular point next time. Everybody, please, let's start from 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. This is how you pray for your children. Brethren, as Christians, when God chose Abraham, he said, I've chosen him so that he will instruct his children and his household after him in the way of the Lord. They must learn to do what? Righteousness and justice. God chose Abraham because he's going to pass spiritual values down generations. And I'm saying, so it is with everyone who calls himself, who calls herself a Christian. Paul even says something. Listen to this very carefully. He said, even if your husband is not a believer, or your wife is not a believer, that one of you is a believer, those children have been dedicated to the Lord. That's the meaning of the word sanctified. That is, the faith of one of the parents has turned that boy to a man of God. I don't know whether you hear what I said. If once one of the parents is a believer, that girl is a woman of God. And that parent must understand it. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. I know my husband is not a Christian. But these children are men and women of God. That's what the Bible says. That was what God revealed to Paul. Once you are, see, it's so important to God. You married a non-believer. That is, you gave your life to Christ. You became a believer. Your spouse is not a believer. God said, it doesn't matter. The children are sanctified by the faith of one. Now, you know what I mean of sanctified? Because of the faith of only one, ancestral curses in that household is broken. Because of the faith of only one, those children must serve the Lord. This, what am I saying? I'm giving you the faith to pray. Do you get that? Is, Paul said you have the right to go in prayer and say, this one, okay, let's read the scripture. Please, as you are reading this, is apply. See, once you are a Christian parent, even if you are not married yet, cram these things. Do you follow my point? Don't forget them. We're opening to where?
1 Samuel chapter 1.
1 Samuel chapter 1. Okay. It's a story we all know, so there's no need for me to spend too much time talking about that story. Hannah didn't have children. Then one day she went to pray. She went to the temple and she prayed. And the Lord gave a word through Eli. After she made her devotion to the Lord. You know what that is? Okay, let me just remind of the devotion. Verse 11. She made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and the razor shall never come on his head, which is be a sign of the fact that he's korban. You know what I mean? He has been devoted to the Lord. That thing was not a joke. Let's not even talk about it now. Now, what I want us to read is verse 20, what? Verse 27. Yeah, go down to verse 27. Okay, now I'm going to back up to 24. Said, now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with a three-year-old bull and one ephah of flour and a jug of wine and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, although the boy was young. Then they slaughtered the bull and brought the boy to Eli. She said to him, O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. Remember, all these things were recorded for our learning. Now, notice verse 27. I want us to read it together, 27 and 28. For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. So I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord, and he worships the Lord there. Now we're going to stop at that Lord, okay? That's first, that statement she made. The last line was a comment by the scribe, okay? Let's read 27 again. For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. So I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord. See, I said stop there. The Lord is good. Now this time around, you are going to declare this concerning your children. You are going to say it to yourself. Okay, maybe you can take it one by one for this boy, and you mention their name in your heart. Or for these children. Or didn't you pray about your own children? If you have them already. If you don't yet have them, have you not prayed about them? Okay, pray. Okay, bow your head. Pray now. Even if you are not married, pray. Say, God, give me children according to your will. Yeah. You have only 1 minute, so I want everybody to pray. Unless you are less than 16. All those of you are less than, be thanking God for those who are around you. Even if you are, if you are around that 16, don't pray prayer that doesn't concern you yet. Because the parents is looking at me like, should I pray? Okay, you can pray later, Sha. Actually, you can pray. It looks like you can pray that kind of prayer. Let me prophesy like Eli. The Lord will grant you what you have asked of him in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now let us pray. Let us now declare these words. Please, especially those of you who have children already. Please. There's a reason why you are called a parent. Your tentacles is spiritual. Even if that child is in Australia and you're in Nigeria, if you do your hand like this, you go reach up. Okay, let me speak the English. They can understand Australia. You stretch your hand into the spirit, it will get there. In the things of the spirit, there's no distance. Are you getting my point? See, there's a reason why you're called a parent, a father and a mother. From here, you can pray for anyone. Once the person is saying, the person is your child, you can pray. So please, this is the first prayer we're going to pray concerning children. Now let's read it one more time. And then I will leave you to mention the name of your children one by one or collectively as you like. Is that okay? Now, verse 27, 1-2, let's go. For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition which I asked of him. So I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord. Read that verse 28 again. So I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord. Now read that last line again. As long as he lives. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord. Everybody, you have 1 minute. Dedicate your children. Mention their names. It looks like my... Okay, I thought you wanted to call your children to lay hands on them, my wife. Okay, she's pointing. Yes. Akinlu, as long as you live, you are dedicated to the Lord. That's it. All your younger ones, dedicated to the Lord. Dedicated to the Lord. That's the first script we're writing about our children. Say concerning them, you are dedicated. Call their names. See, they will serve the Lord. See, there's nothing like they don't like it. They will serve the Lord. They have been sanctified. They are sanctified. You know, Christians don't understand. It's an assignment from God. They are sanctified. They are dedicated to the Lord. See, there are those who will pray this prayer, and God will give them, in the next 3 years, they will have 3 children. Because you are praying this prayer. Over the next 3 years. Say, you are dead. Say, Lord, for these children I prayed. Now I dedicate them to you. And as long as they live, they will serve you, Lord. Remember, it's our school of prayer. I'm teaching you how to pray. When you kneel down, you wake up at night. Please, don't worry about witches. Witches can't eat your children. Please, let's talk about stop all this nonsense. Some people did a movie the other day, telling us, if you tell somebody you are pregnant, they will eat your children. I bet eat those witches yourself. What nonsense is all of that become with teaching fear to the children of God? Let's focus on things that matter. Say, Lord, for these children, I prayed. And I'm dedicating them to you. And I'm saying as long as they live, they will serve the Lord. That my father, as long as they live, they will serve you. I'm giving you a few minutes. mention their names one by one. Say, you are dedicated to the Lord. Say, Olugbenga Daniel, you are dedicated to the Lord. As long as you live, you will serve the Lord. Say, Father, he's dedicated to you. He's yours. We'll pray more prayer for them next time. But for today, just devote them to the Lord. You are not, look, I'm your trainer. I've given you over to the Lord. I've given you over. You are the Lord's. You belong to him. You don't belong to me. You are an assignment in my life. God says, teach him, teach her righteousness and justice. You need to pray that prayer. Just declare concerning children. He said, so I have dedicated them to the Lord. As long as they live, they are dedicated to the Lord. You should just keep declaring that. My children, I have dedicated them to the Lord. As long as they live, they are dedicated to the Lord. These children are dedicated to the Lord. They are dedicated to the Lord. Now begin to just say, Lord, whatever you do in this my life, they will carry it to a higher level. You make me a blessing to my generation. You make them double a blessing. Double, double. There are those who are going to preach. There are those who God will make so rich they will finance the gospel. Their children will be twice as rich, 10 times as rich as their parents. And in their own lifetime, they will give 100 times what their father used to support the gospel. There are those that will build and control universities where righteousness will be taught. They are dedicated to the Lord. God is raising an army. And you are saying, Lord, these children are enlisted. A lot of times, Christians deplete the army of God. They consciously deplete the Lord's army. God is looking for people. The senior soldiers that he trained, they have detrained their own children. Say, Lord, that will not be my portion. Say, Lord, each of my children, they will serve you. Say to the Lord. Now, beg him, beg him. Look, somebody listening to me, I want you to pray. Say, Father God, none of my children will do drugs. Hey, because they will be high on the Most High. Yes, say, Lord, fill them with the Spirit. That place where people take drugs will get high too. Let my children be filled with the Spirit so that constantly they are high on the Most High. Let them laugh like crazy people on the road because the Holy Spirit just gave them a revelation. Let them be high on the Most High. Say, Lord, the desire for inordinate things, I kill it now by devotion, by dedication in the name of Jesus Christ. Ordinary cigarettes will be repulsive to them. No needle will pass through their hands to inject them with hard drugs in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, they are sanctified. They are sanctified. They are sanctified. My Father, touch my fire. Father, they are sanctified. Any drug dealer that wants to entice them, Father, bury that one. Bury that one. It's my children you want to turn to drug addicts? I bury you in the name of Jesus. Say, Lord, run them over. But this one is dedicated to the Lord. This one is dedicated to the Lord. Say, Lord, this one is dedicated to the Lord. Mention your children's name. They will be high on the Most High. Yes, they will constantly be high. You know, Paul said, be not be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Do not be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It's the same thing. Don't take hard drugs that will knock your head out, but be filled with the Spirit. Now call your children's name one by one. You will not be drunk with wine. You will not take alcohol. You will not take drugs. You will not smoke igbo. Nothing. But you will be filled constantly with the Spirit. I am your parent. I'm your father. I'm your mother. I devote you to the Lord. I sacrifice you like Isaac. You know, that's the meaning of, you know,
One of the things they wrote on the high priest, holy unto the Lord. Now call your children and say, you are holy unto the Lord. That's the meaning. Holy unto the Lord. Holy unto the Lord. Holy unto the Lord. Holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. Holy unto the Lord. Holy. I will not bring forth children for calamity. I will not bring forth children for iniquity. I will not populate the kingdom of darkness. I will not arm the devil. My children will not bear arms for Satan. No, they will bear the arms of the Spirit for the kingdom of God alone. You are dedicated to the Lord. Give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, we thank you. Just give the Lord thanks. Just give him thanks. Brethren, we'll continue writing this script next time. Let's give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. Please, just take a moment again. Just give thanks for your children. Mention them again. If you have their names, even if they are not yet born, but you have their names, begin to give thanks for them by name. Or if you can't do that, just give them thanks for them generally. Just take a moment and thank God. Say, Lord, thank you. Thank you.
Let's thank the Lord. Let's thank the Lord from the bottom of your heart. Something has happened even in the lives of your children. Oh, yes, yes. There has been a release from heaven for their own sake. Oh, bad friends have been cast away. Oh, drug dealers have been buried for their sake. Oh, bad friends have been separated from them. They have begun to hate iniquity. They hate iniquity already. They have been distinguished. They have been set on the pathway of righteousness. Oh, as you believe these things, lift up your voice in thanksgiving. Say, Lord, I thank you. My children are delivered. My children are delivered. They are distinguished. They have been set on the path of life. Oh, they will serve the Lord all the days of their lives. Say, Father, I thank you. I will not have difficulty with them. They will marry right. They have received instruction in the Spirit to marry right, to love the right people, to walk in the right company. They will excel in school because they have received instruction of the Spirit. Heaven has been released. Heaven has released instruction on their behalf. So just say, thank you, Jesus, because you have done this extraordinary thing. The Lord has pulled them even into his own bosom. Yes, and he has begun to speak into their hearts. The Spirit of God is speaking. He's giving instruction, even into their hearts right now. They are learning what is good. They are learning righteousness. So just open your mouth in thanksgiving. Say, Father, I thank you.